What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders. There has to be a way to do this. There has to be a way for the pastor to care for the flock and for the flock to care for the pastor without resorting to what we have had of late in the church, especially American evangelicalism, where pastors, well, I don't know what else to call it. It's a power grab. They have things like boards of elders and groups to which they are accountable, and all that gets tossed out the window, and the pastor kind of handpicks a group of planners, like-minded people, and they essentially take over the congregation. And then we get ridiculous statements from pastors who ought to know better that the responsibility really isn't to feed the flock, but that the flock ought to be self-feeders. You got to wonder, is there a way to get back to a biblical model of pastors and elders where the pastor cares for the sheep and the sheep care for the shepherd? We're going to start a three-part series, part one today, with Pastor Timothy Meck on pastors and elders, working through the issues of who's in charge and what does it mean to be in charge. Pastor Meck is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He's author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another. Tim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. It's good to be on.
It's been a long time since we spoke, 14 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken. You say that when it comes to this relationship, this important relationship between pastors and elders, between a pastor and his sheep and the sheep and the pastor, it is not about more power, but about exercising proper authority. What do you mean by that?
I think that what's happening all around us is we're looking at things anthropocentrically. That means centered on ourselves. And in our culture today, the source of authority, where people are locating it, is in the self. And I think pastors very quickly forget that that's not where the authority lies. Even in the office of the pastor, it lies in Christ. We're called to be Christocentric. So, for example, if you go to an elder meeting, in fact, elder meetings often start with, what do we need to do, for example, to get more members to come to our church? What do we need to do to make things better? We need to go out and talk to people and ask what they want in a church. If you start with the wrong question, you're going to, if you start with a law question, you're going to end up with a law answer. And so we just end up going back and forth with what we think, instead of starting with Christ and his word. And I think that's a real problem that we all get caught up with in the church as well.
What's the difference, Pastor Meck, between power and authority?
In terms of power, it's to act with what's been given me and to see it's a limited thing with regard to, say, I'm the pastor, and what can I do as a pastor, for example, to get things done in the church? And there's a lot of things that I can do that I haven't been authorized to do simply because I'm, quote, the pastor. But that doesn't mean I should be doing those things. Or, for example, an elder. There's a lot you can do because you're an elder. People might go to an elder because maybe they have an in with the pastor and can, because of their position as an elder, they can change maybe some practices in the church that are actually in accord with the Word of God, but maybe aren't as popular as some other practices. So it's to act according to power is to what you have. But as I mentioned in the book, there's always someone with more power than you. And Dr. John Kleinig does a lot with this and does a beautiful job of explaining how when we're operating according to power, we're in the devil's realm. We're seeking to make a name for ourselves instead of confessing the name of Christ and what his word has done and continues to do in our lives.
So what is the ultimate authority, whether we're talking pastors or elders?
Jesus. And that authority is expressed through his word. And so to start, I mentioned in the book as well how important it is for both pastors and elders to be fed by the word of God daily, to have a daily diet of that word of God, so that we're operating not according to ourselves, but actually are being fed by what God would have us be doing in our individual callings and in our vocations.
What are pastors for? What are elders for? Make that distinction.
A pastor is called and ordained to proclaim the word of God and to teach that word of God and administer the sacraments. The elders are members of the priesthood of all believers. They're called as servants to assist the pastor in seeing that gets done. Each has a particular vocation. An elder isn't a pastor, and a pastor isn't an elder, as we have used those terms. In the scripture, I think a big problem, I guess, in the church is many elders don't realize that in the scripture, the word elder actually is referring to the pastor, so that has caused some confusion.
So take that apart, if you would. What are we talking about? What kind of confusion has it caused where scripture will use the word elder, presbyteroi, and why is it a mistake to think that the apostle in that case or the narrative in that case is referring to elders as we know them today in the church?
Well, the pastor is called and ordained to preach the word and authorized to do that publicly within the church and to administer the sacraments. The elders, as we call them today, are lay persons within the church, lay people within the church, properly called servants. They haven't been given that task. Now, while they may be able to do the task, it's not their function. And what it has led to is a functional view of the office of the pastoral ministry. Who's authorized? Who's accountable to seeing to that the word of God is proclaimed, both law and gospel, faithfully within the church? That lies with the pastor. The elders, as the people of God, as the priesthood of all believers, members who are appointed out of the priesthood of all believers to assist the pastor in this task, are called to hold the pastor accountable to that, to his task of preaching and teaching the word of God in the congregation. And the way they do that is they need to know the word of God themselves in order to hold him to that word.
So it's just unthinkable that we would have a pastor who is called to administer the sacraments and preach the word, and yet a board of elders or elders who are ignorant of that word and what it teaches. They simply cannot do what they've been called as elders to do, ignorant of the word.
Exactly. And I believe that's precisely where the problem lies. I mean, we live in a culture where people are very, very busy and maybe have an understanding of the Word of God. Okay, I know that. Now I can just go on to other things. But it's an ongoing thing to be fed with this Word of God, to be enlivened with this Word of God, and to carry out the tasks that God enlivens us to do within his church. And the Word of God is not something just past tense. God works in and through his Word today. If elders don't know that Word of God, that is, if they're not being fed with that Word of God, they're simply not going to be able to assist the pastor in carrying out his responsibilities as he is given by God through the Word.
There's another bit of confusion here that we need to clear away with regard to kind of the nomenclature that Scripture uses for these things, and that is, the closest thing you can get to an elder in Scripture are the deacons in the book of Acts, and they're referred to elsewhere. But that still isn't exactly what we're talking about when we talk about elders. Talk about deacons in their biblical context and how they are the same and yet in many ways different from what we ask elders to do.
Well, a deacon is an optional office based on apostolic and church custom and to carry out tasks specifically called within the church that they are called to do. Really, again, the elders as we know them today really come out of the priesthood of all believers, and as members of the priesthood of all believers, they simply have that oversight and authority given to every Christian in the congregation. And there's another thing with regard to that. I think maybe elders and even members of the congregation are afraid to hold the pastor to the Word of God, thinking maybe, well, we don't know enough that there is to know, so who am I to tell the pastor what to do? And I think that's led to a lot of congregations being led away, especially if the pastor begins to not be accountable to the Word of God, to do those things that he hasn't been called and ordained to do.
It sounds like what we've worked out is a situation where we understand that pastors and their people are all fallen.
And absolutely.
And that understanding that we're sinners, we have to have this system of accountability. The pastor is there to administer God's word and preach and administer the sacraments, preach God's word. In order that he carry that out, he's held accountable to those who also know God's word but don't occupy that office, and vice versa. It's really kind of realizing that we're not angels, but in fact, sinful men who have been given divine things to do. About a minute before our break.
Real quickly, I once asked a Bible class, I said, as your pastor, told you that I'm the called and ordained pastor of this church, you need to paint your house pink. Would you do it? And several people said yes. Now, I have no authority to tell people what color to paint their house. But yet, some people would listen to the pastor in wanting to do that when they shouldn't. It's not in the scriptures.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk more about pastors and elders, part one of a three-part series with Pastor Timothy Meck. He's author of The Issues Etc., a book of the month for February, Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, part one of a three-part series we're beginning on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 7th, with Pastor Timothy Meck, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. There is so much confusion, sad to say, congregation to congregation, about the proper authority of a pastor and the proper authority that God has given to the priesthood of all believers, to all believers, to see to it that their pastor is cared for and that he carries out that all-important call in accordance with God's Word. We really are in need of a resource just like this. It's The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. There's also a link there, if you click on the image, to where you can get Pastors and Elders from Concordia Publishing House, or give them a call toll-free any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Pastors and Elders, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for February, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Meck, you said before the break that if you told your parishioners what color to paint their houses, they shouldn't have to listen to you about that. What should they listen to you about? What must they listen to you about?
Well, Jesus himself said, with regard to those called and ordained to speak his word, those who speak his word, the apostles, and those now in apostolic ministry, he who listens to you listens to me. And what that means is when we're speaking his word, and it's not one of those things where the pastor can just say, well, thus says the Lord, and so you need to listen to me. People need to look to the scriptures. And is what the pastor saying in the scriptures? The pastor should be able to show that, yes, this is what our Lord has said, and I'm simply saying what he says. That's my call. That's what I've been given to do. And in those matters, look, I only work here. See him about it. These are the Lord's words, and you need to listen to those. But my fear is that people tend to, allow the pastor maybe to go beyond that in some cases, or in other cases when the pastor is simply saying what the word says, not liking what that word says about our lives, for example, with regard to the law of God and, say, breaking the sixth commandment or one of the commandments and what that means for life, and saying, look, you need to stop that, for example, if they're sinning and breaking the commandment, and seek to bring them to repentance and forgiveness. We see in the church at large and in some denominations saying, well, do whatever you want, and the pastor should simply bless whatever even God has cursed. They have no authority to do that, no authority to say that. Our Lord seeks out sinners to bring them to repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins. And we need to preach faithfully both law and gospel, and understand that the law is not an end in and of itself, but that it serves the gospel. What do we want? Forgiven sinners. To have people to know the full peace of God, that, yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven in Christ. That's what we're given to say. Those are the things that the scriptures talk about. And as pastors, that's what we're called and ordained to proclaim. We're there to proclaim our Lord's word, which gives and bestows today, just as it did when he walked the earth.
Let's listen. Let's see what Joe has to say. He's listening in his car. Joe, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. This is a great topic. I appreciate it. And I appreciate something you touched on initially. You brought in vocation, and it kind of struck me that that seems to be the best way to look at this. What is the vocation of the pastor as it relates to the congregation, or the vocation of the elders, or the vocation of the members of the congregation? How do we best serve the other members? And it seems that the pastor's vocation really is very narrowly defined, and yet we don't want it to be narrowly defined. And if I can, a while back I read an article that when it comes to vocation, what Luther got rid of was not the clergy, he got rid of the laity. And your little spot in your break said, equipping the priesthood of all believers. And an example where the pastor's vocation is expanded comes, that I see, is specifically with evangelism, meaning it's all the pastor's responsibility to grow the church, rather than the congregation's responsibility to grow the church. And so when the church doesn't grow, well, who are we going to blame? We're going to blame the pastor. And I appreciate this topic. I appreciate the vocation reference. It's very important. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much. Your thoughts, Pastor Mack?
Well, one thing that just popped into my mind when you mentioned that is actually someone once came to me and said, Pastor, I don't think you should be teaching the Bible class on Sunday morning. We should let lay people do that. You should be kind of going around and just welcoming people, being kind of like the tour guide of the church and making people feel welcome. What I find amazing about that is precisely what I'm called to do, to teach and to being trained to teach and to know the scriptures and to be immersed in the scriptures. A particular person thought that, well, that's not important. What's important is that you go around and, just make everybody feel welcome.
Good PR.
Yeah, be our PR guy. And so that's a total misuse of vocation. And a person may go and be able to read fine in church or do the various things, maybe even be a great speaker in church, but a layperson isn't called and ordained to do that or trained to do that. And when you take the pastor out of the Bible class, for example, what can happen is someone may kind of, in our culture today where everybody's in charge, well, I think this means this, or I think this means that, with no understanding of what the scriptures say, even with understanding the original languages and history and so forth.
What about, because you bring it down to something very simple, and it usually happens when a pastor is either ordained or subsequently installed in a congregation. At least in our tradition, it is rather important that the pastor makes certain vows, and they're remarkably simple. I think Joe's right. They're remarkably kind of narrow in their focus upon the Word of God and tending to the sheep in that respect. But the people also make vows to support him, to pray for him, to hear him when he faithfully teaches God's Word. Does it really, in this interplay between pastors and elders, is it really all kind of encapsulated right there in the promises that a pastor makes and the promise that the people make?
Absolutely. And those are the things that we get, though, diverted from so easily. With the pastor taking on so many other things that there's a failure maybe to visit members in need. I mean, ministry goes on bringing the Word of God to bear on people's lives and their families and people who are hurting and visits to the hospital and so forth. It's all about bringing Christ to them, bringing His Word and that comfort that only that Word can give. And yet, often pastors are diverted to do other things. You'll hear people say, like, oh, yeah, we know pastor, but what about this or what about that? And pastors, on the other hand, can do the same thing in reverse, think that that's somehow not important to spend time with an individual who needs the care, God's care that comes through His Word, that it could be better served by maybe having someone else do it. Well, no, the pastor's been called to do that. And obviously others assist with that in caring for members who are hurting. But people need their pastor too, and they need the Lord's Supper brought to them, for example, for those who are shut in and aren't able to come to church for whatever reason.
What about a pastor who says, and this is quite common nowadays, sad to say, pastor who says, look, I feel led to say this, or the Lord has laid this particular thought or idea on my heart, and a lot of language today about the vision the pastor has received for the congregation from God. How should we regard such things?
I think it's very dangerous. And it's dangerous because if the pastor begins to kind of, well, first of all, where's the authority for that coming from? There's no way to verify, if you will, where that's coming from. And if it's just from the pastor wanting to do certain things, and maybe our dreams for our congregations, maybe they need to be shattered because the Lord has other plans.
About 30 seconds here.
Okay. We're called to simply bring God's word to bear on people's lives. If we take over the verbs of salvation, start doing what we want or think that God wants us to do without that authority of the word, in a lot of cases what we're going to be doing is leading people into what, like for example, Tim Met might want to do or think, sir, or it becomes less and less of the word of God and more of the vision of the pastor, and that's not what the pastor is called and ordained to do.
Pastor Timothy Meck is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and he's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February, Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. Pastor Meck, it's good to speak with you again, and I'm glad we get a chance to talk two more times in this series with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Todd, thank you so much.
It is as simple as what God authorizes the pastor to do, to bear his word to the congregation, and what God authorizes the people to do, to hear that word, and then in turn, out of love and concern for their pastor, hold him fast to his promise to preach and teach faithfully. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.